part of the permission being granted to travellers from some countries, we don't yet know which ones, being allowed to land in South Africa after the 1st of October. They have to land here with a COVID-19 negative test, fresher than 72 hours old, and they have to download the government's COVID-19 tracing app. Jan Vermeulen of mybroadband.co.za is on the line to us. Jan, okay, so they download and then what? What happens?
Good afternoon. Yes, so it's the app is based on the exact same technology as is being rolled out elsewhere in the world. It's a platform provided by Google and Apple. And basically what this app does is it detects, without using up your data, it uses Bluetooth, whether you have been in close proximity to someone who tests positive. Obviously the app can't do that. But if someone tests positive within 14 days of you being in close proximity to them, then as long as they push, you know, alert other app users, so if there's a button in the app, you just press it and say, I've been tested positive for COVID-19, and then everybody that you've been in close proximity to gets an alert. It's completely anonymous. They don't know who tested positive and who they might have been close to that tested positive. They just know that they have been in close proximity to someone who has tested positive.
For the system to work, then, it requires those people who do test positive to press a button saying, I have tested positive. And I don't know what the experience is around the world about the extent to which positive testers have been able to or have been prepared to press that button.
Yeah, so around the world, the success of the system has got less to do with that and more to do with uptake. If you don't have enough people using the system, the thing is, I know even as a journalist, I tend to be more cynical than not. But for the most part, the number of honest, helpful people outweigh the bad, and so most people are actually willing to just press the button and alert people, especially because it does nothing. It costs you nothing, and it does nothing to you to press that button. But certainly, if enough people aren't using the app, then that notification means nothing because it doesn't help that you say, yes, I've tested positive, and that notification goes to no one because they've not used the app.
Yeah, I mean, I personally can't imagine why somebody wouldn't press the app. I can't imagine why you wouldn't want to let people know with whom you'd been in reasonably close contact that you had just tested positive. But there are people around the world always who, for different reasons, talk about invasion of privacy and data theft, and they come up with all sorts of reasons as to why they won't do it, and it's wrong to ask people to do it.
Right. So in this particular case, Google and Apple have gone to extreme lengths to the point of being criticized by several European governments to ensure people's privacy is protected. And that's why this is called a COVID exposure notification system. They've renamed it rather than a contact tracing system, because this isn't a contact tracing system. This thing is completely anonymized. There's no way to trace back who tested positive, who was close to who. They don't track GPS locations or anything. They exchange what they call Bluetooth beacons. So as long as two phones are close enough to one another in Bluetooth range to be able to communicate with one another, now that's extremely close. And so that's what makes Bluetooth such a great technology for this. But, I mean, that comes with several benefits. Firstly, that information doesn't go over the internet. So not only is that more private, it also means that you don't pay for data because Bluetooth is free. And so Apple and Google have really gone to extreme lengths to ensure that people's privacy and personal information is protected. In fact, you don't type in a single bit of personal information into this app. It doesn't gather a single bit of personal information precisely to avoid these kinds of trade-offs and these kinds of questions, so that people who are concerned about that, they don't even have to think about it. If you've got some
that's very good to hear.
Any point
in downloading from listeners? Any point in downloading the app if one has already had COVID-19, perhaps a month ago? Still worthwhile?
Yes, Yes, there's new research out. I just read this in the conversation recently. There's new research out to suggest that you might lose your COVID immunity over time.
Okay.
So
just to be safe, if there's no downside to downloading it, then why not just download it?
Exactly.
And honestly,
it's up to you to decide. So if you get an exposure notification, then you decide how you want to quarantine, where you want to quarantine, and that sort of thing. You're not going to have a government agent at your door knocking, going, okay, you know, now you're locked in.
And then from Teresa, I have an iPhone 6, and I can't download the app as my phone doesn't support the iOS 13.
Oh, that's unfortunate, yes. I suspect that, there are going to be older devices which don't support the newer Bluetooth technology that this is built on. And, yeah, that sucks. Unfortunately the reality of the technology industry. And why I think it's fine that South Africa is so late to this app party, because honestly, our time, effort, and money was better spent elsewhere, to start with. But now, you know, it's a good thing to have it, especially with the country opening up to international travelers who will likely land with much more modern smartphones.
Jan Vermeulen of mybroadband.co.za, thank you very, very much for that conversation.